In Romans, the 12th chapter and verse 1, Apostle Paul there says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, or some translation render that, your spiritual service. Then he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The word sacrifice primarily denotes the act of offering. Then objectively, it refers to that which is offered, according to W. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. It can be things that are done, or it can be things that are given. Stories told about a man who was feeling low, feeling blue, as we do from time to time, feeling that life had been rather hard on him, but then he decided to count his blessings and realized that he'd received a great many blessings, as most all of us have in this life. We have been blessed tremendously in many, many ways. But then this man decided to count his sacrifices for the Lord. And as he tried and he tried to think of sacrifices that he had made for the Lord, he couldn't think of even one real sacrifice he had ever made for the Lord. And I wonder sometimes just how much I really sacrifice for the Lord. Something each of us needs to think about from time to time. How much do I really sacrifice? As we noted there in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And so, in reality, our complete, total self is an offering to God. We need to be willing to give ourselves in service to God. Paul said to the Corinthians that they needed to be willing to give, and we need to be willing to give. And many in the early church did give, and give freely and diligently. Many hazarded their lives for the cause of Christ. Paul makes that observation about some who were his helpers, that they had hazarded their lives for Christ. I don't know of any good parent, well, you're talking about mother or father, who would not be able to think of great sacrifices that they had made for their children, especially is that true of mothers. But how many of us are really offering up sacrifices to God? Are we giving ourselves, giving of ourselves, and literally giving ourselves to the Lord? I want us to think about this idea in our study tonight. Some sacrifices the Lord wants us to make. And I want you to notice, first of all, in Hebrews the 13th chapter, there at verse 15, as the writer there says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Every assembly that we come to, we sing praises to God. Almost without exception, and probably without exception, congregations I have been with, but maybe exception of the first congregation I worked with, I observed people who, it seemed, did not sing. Some who maybe mumbled words and were not actually singing out before God. We're taught to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. making melody in our heart to the Lord, and so I know we can make melody in our heart to the Lord, and nobody ever hears us. The scripture teaches us to teach and admonish one another. Psalm and hymn. And so if we're going to teach and admonish one another, it would seem to me that people ought to be able to hear us as we sing praises to God. This sacrifice of praise is not only rendered in song, but it is also rendered in prayer, as well as in conversation. As Peter would write, 1 Peter chapter 2, there in verse 9, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people." Or other translation renders that, "a people for God's own possession, that you should show forth the praise of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Show forth the praises of him. That doesn't specify a means of praising God. And so it could be just the very life that you live would show praise to God. As David penned the 100th Psalm, he talked about praising God, and something that we need to be aware of on a regular basis. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It's he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving," or with praise. "Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. David makes it clear that we need to be making a joyful noise. Now, I don't know anywhere in Scripture where it says that we have to blend in perfect harmony, perfect four-part harmony in our singing. I can't find that passage. We do have four-part harmony in our song books, and it sounds good to our human ears when we sing properly in four-part harmony. I enjoy that. But those songs that we have recorded in our books, and the music that's there, is a product of men. The thing that's important in our singing is the words that we sing. Expressing praise, adoration, and glory to God with the words that we sing. We had a man in the church in Pekin, Illinois, many years ago, who, as we used to say, I growing up couldn't carry a tune in a bucket with a lid on it. He sang where everybody could hear him. He was in a monotone all the way through the song, but you could hear him all over the building. Had a good baritone voice, but didn't know the first thing about going up and down as the notes went up and down. But that man praised God in his singing. He wasn't shy about his desire to praise God, and he was appreciated because of that. We need to involve ourselves when we pray. We need to involve ourselves when we sing. We need to involve ourselves when we discuss God's Word, because actually discussing God's Word is a sacrifice of praise. And we understand that this praise must be from the heart, as Matthew chapter 15 to verse 8 talks about. "And as people draw nigh to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. They honor me with their lips, draw nigh to me with their mouth, but it's not part of their heart." And so what we do in praise to God must come from our heart. I heard about this young fella who said he yelled himself hoarse at a football game. And I've probably done that at a basketball game. I don't know about a football game, but when I was younger, I did that. I just wonder how many of us have sung ourselves hoarse praising God, singing praise to him. The sacrifice of praise is to be by, that means through or by means of Christ. Hebrews chapter 13 to verse 15. We need to understand the need to make sure that our singing, our praise, is to be through the means of Christ. In verse 16 of Hebrews 13, he continues and said, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice, God is well pleased." Notice, it is the fruit of our lips. We noted in Colossians 3, verse 16, also Ephesians 5, verse 19, Colossians 3, verse 16, talks about that the word of Christ dwelling in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalm and hymn and spiritual song, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And then the verse following, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever we do it by his authority. So the songs that we sing, the fruit of our lips, the offering that we make, as Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 14 there, verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will pray with the Spirit also. And I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. These are done with the heart, but they're also done with understanding. This cannot be done as the fruit of a mechanical instrument of music. Nowhere can you find in the New Testament the command to use a mechanical instrument of music in praising God. And yes, there are such teachings in the Old Covenant. We do know that there were many individuals who used various instruments of music under the Old Law. But we're no longer under the Old Law. We're under the law of Christ. Colossians 2 verse 14 said he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, contrary to us, and took it out of the way. And so, we're no longer under the law of Moses. Those things that we do in worship to God, we must find authorized in Scripture. And so, one of the things that we, on the sacrifices that we offer, is the sacrifice of praise. You'll notice also that in Scripture we are commanded to do good and to share. The word communicate there means to share. Hebrews 13 to verse 16. We read that just a moment ago, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. These are the kind of sacrifices that God is well pleased with. Do good. Communicate. Share. You see, we can't do all of our sacrificing with words. There's a great deal of teaching that is done in regard to giving a material substance. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, "As I have given all to the church of Galatia, even so to ye upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in the store, as God is prospering, that there be no gathering when I come." And so they were taught to lay by in store as they've been prospered. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 10, there Paul tells how this be done. With a cheerful heart. As we purpose, as we plan, and we do it with a cheerful heart. God loves a cheerful giver. There are some passages in the book of Mark and also in the book of Matthew that deal with this idea of our sacrificial giving. In Mark the 12th chapter, there beginning about verse 41 and going through verse 44, there's an account there where Jesus was standing by the treasury, and it talked about him looking at the people that were casting into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. But you remember the story about this poor widow, a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which makes a farthing or a penny. And when Jesus called his disciples, he said to them, "Truly I say to you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury." Now, What she cast in was, as we would say, just one red cent. And those who were rich cast in much. But he said, she had cast more in than all they which have cast in the treasures. Now notice his reasoning here in verse 44. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. The Apostle Paul talked about some of the early Christians. He said they didn't give as he had hoped that they would, but he said they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us. And so we need to be willing to give ourselves, as we noted there in Romans chapter 12, our bodies as a living sacrifice. Over in Matthew chapter 25, there beginning about verse 31, as our Lord is dealing with the judgment scene there, and as he separates them, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats, and the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left, he goes on to talk about some who ministered to him. I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick, or in prison and came unto thee? Lord, when did we see you like this? Listen to the response that Jesus gives. Inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me. And he turns to those on the left hand and said, you didn't do these things to me. And they said, Lord, when did we see you like this? And he said, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these my brethren, you did it not unto me. And as he closed that, he said, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. You see, our eternal happiness is to a large degree predicated upon how we respond to the needs of those around us. Someone made the statement that sacrificial giving is in reality saving. And if you stop and you think about it a little bit and you listen to what the scripture says regarding our giving, the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, gives Timothy some instruction. He said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. But he didn't stop there. Listen to the rest of it. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. What were they doing when they were rich in good works? When they were willing to communicate, ready to distribute, when they were ready to share with other people? He said, really what you're doing is you're investing in the future. It's sort of like a savings account. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, Jesus had laid out for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. As we noted earlier, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul there talking about the Macedonians who sacrificed to give. And that which led them to do so, as Paul said, was their first giving of themselves. He said, well, they didn't give as we hoped. Apparently they weren't able to give as much as Paul wanted them to be able to give. But he said they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us. And so they were willing to give themselves, doing good and communicating, sharing with other people. That's the sacrifice of a Christian. But as we noted earlier in Romans chapter 12, sacrifice involves ourselves. In the sacrifice that we make, we must involve our very selves. There are not many people who are required to die for Christ in our modern day. In days gone by, there are people who have had to die for Christ. Stephen did. He was stoned to death. Paul was stoned and left for dead because they were Christians. That's the only reason, because they were serving the Lord. And there are many martyrs. There's a book entitled Fox's Book of Martyrs. And you can read about many individuals whose lives were literally taken because they were Christians. They were serving the Lord. I don't know anybody in our modern day that has done that. Some that have died because they confessed that they were following Christ, or whether they were or not, I don't know. But there have been some isolated instances where people's lives have been taken because they confessed their faith in Jesus Christ. But that's the exception. There's very, very few that are called upon to give their very lives for the cause of Christ. But we are asked to live for Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, remember there verse 19, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, you're not your own? See, we don't belong to ourselves. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We've been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there, beginning of verse 14, Paul said, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. We don't live unto ourselves, Paul said. Well, who do we live to? But unto him which died for them and rose again. Who is our very lives dedicated to? We are dedicated to the one who died for us. We have given our very lives to him. I read this story. I don't know where it came from or how true it is. About a man who sacrificed himself to football. Win or lose, he never missed a game during the whole football season. Well, I said, he's gone all day Saturday, and that's church on Sunday, so 7 or 8 o'clock, to say nothing of every day until 8, 9, 10, or even 11 o'clock. She said, in fact, he takes those plays to bed with him. And we say, that's pretty extreme. Well, it is. But there's a lot of people that are almost that extreme in regard to the sports that we enjoy. And I'm not necessarily saying that we shouldn't enjoy sports. I enjoy some sports myself. But one who would give himself so totally and completely to those kinds of activity, if we saw someone who was doing that, spent that much time in those kinds of activities, we'd say they were fanatic. But that's especially true if we saw someone who was spending that much time working for the Lord, studying the Bible, attending gospel meetings. You surely would call that person a fanatic. You'd probably call him a religious nut. Because he gave so much time, gave himself completely and totally to those activities that are of a spiritual nature. Well, is that what we're supposed to be doing? Giving ourselves totally and completely to our Lord, to our Master. Because we belong to Him. We're His by right of purchase. This sacrifice that we're talking about here involves the use of our tongues to teach, to invite others, to read to our children, teach them to pray. All these kinds of things that are what we would refer to as daily activities. In trying to help others. Someone may say, well, things like that just tire me to death. You remember what It said in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Here in this life is not the time to rest. Oh, yes, I know we have to have some physical rest from time to time. And the older we get, the more rest we have to have, I guess. But our real rest is not here in this life. Our real rest is in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 25, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And in John 12, verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. How many of us hate our life? I don't think I will raise my hand. I kind of like my life. But that's not really what Jesus is driving at here. He's talking about loving our life less than we love our Lord. He that hated his life in this world. If I love my life less here, then what am I going to do? I'm going to have eternal life. Some say, well, I just don't have the time to spare. Remember what said in John chapter 14, that beginning verse 13? Jesus said to his disciples, go to now, you say today or tomorrow, we're going to such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, I said, John, that should be James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For when is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. He said, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. When we make our plans, are we remembering to keep the Lord in our plan? As he continues, he said, but now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. It's in this context that James says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I know I need to be involved in doing some things. Be careful. If I don't do them, I'll be committing sin. Just too hard. Just can't make that great a sacrifice. Remember what Jesus said? What is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for soul? Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. And in Luke 14, 27, whosoever does not bear his cross and come back to me cannot be my disciple. If I'm not willing to give myself, give my time, my resources in teaching, helping, doing what I can to bring others to the Lord, whether I'm talking about my own family or my neighbor, my friend, whoever it may be, I'm not really sacrificing for the Lord. The choice is mine. The choice is yours. I either sacrifice for God or be condemned to eternal punishment. That's not much choice. It's either or. You either serve the Lord, you sacrifice for him, or you're lost eternally. There is no other alternative. We cannot present our body to two causes. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 24, no man can serve two masters. He either hate the one and love the other, else he'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's an impossibility. You just can't do justice to two masters. You might have served two masters, but both masters are going to be dissatisfied. And I'm convinced that the reason that the Lord's work suffers in so many ways is because too many of us as members are dividing our lives with other masters. We're involved in so many other activities. And I say we because I include myself. We become involved in so many secular things. And they're not necessarily things that are sinful. But we become so involved in so many of these things that we just don't have any time left for the Lord. My children were growing up. One of the reasons that I refused to become so involved in the various school activities and being a scout leader or being president of the band boosters or whatever it came along, I tried to do what I could because my children were involved, but I would not become so involved in those kind of activities that it hindered me from doing the work that I felt like I should be doing in the service of the Lord. The Lord just simply doesn't accept the old adage, a half a loaf is better than nothing. It just don't work with the Lord. We got to give Him everything. He wants everything we have, everything we are. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, when He said, I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so that because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. God cannot tolerate those who are lukewarm. In Luke chapter 9, verse 59 and 60, when Jesus said, follow me, but He said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And you read over the book of Malachi, and you see that the people there were doing a lot of religious things. But what they were doing is offering that which was of no real value to them. They were offering molded bread, and the animals they were sacrificing were the ones that had been damaged, or wounded, or maybe something wrong with them, and they were of no value to them, so they offered them to the Lord. And you remember what Malachi said? Why don't you try offering this to your governor and see if he'll have it? And I wonder sometimes if we offered to the Lord, I'm talking about in regard to our contribution, monetary offering, if we offered as much to the Lord as we have to pay to the IRS, well, the Lord's church might be a whole lot better off. I don't know that, but I just wonder sometimes. We might be better off financially in the Lord's church if people gave to the Lord like they give to civil government. That may not be the case. I don't know. I can't examine what you give, and you can't examine what I give. That's something that each individual has to determine for themselves. But I do know that sometimes people are not giving as they should in so many areas. And I suspect that there's not a one of us that can say that I'm sacrificing as much as I could or as much as I should for the Lord. So, am I really sacrificing for the Lord? These are just a few thoughts that I thought we'd share together in regard to sacrificing. Remember, we talked about sacrificing can refer to the thing that is offered. It is can be viewed objectively, that which is offered. But it can also be things that are done or things that are given. It can just simply refer to the act of offering, a sacrifice. It was under the Old Testament. They offered an animal as a sacrifice. Some who were poor, they couldn't afford a sheep or couldn't afford a bullock. They were able to offer a turtle dove or pigeon. But they offered what they could afford to offer as a sacrifice to God. But every one of them could afford to give themselves to the Lord in so many ways. And so can we. And so am I really sacrificing for the Lord? Am I presenting my body as a living sacrifice? That's what Paul's talking about there in Romans 12, verse 1. And as he goes on in verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. We're made over. And he tells us how that's accomplished. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or put to test What is the good and perfect will of God? And so this idea of sacrificing is tied very closely to this matter of salvation. Because salvation that the Lord offers is for those who are indeed willing to give themselves totally and completely to Him. I can't put one foot in the Lord's kingdom and keep one foot in the world. Now that doesn't mean that I don't ever sin. It don't mean that you're not ever going to sin. But it does mean that when you do sin, that you realize that you sin and you seek God's forgiveness and you determine you're not going to do it anymore. But you're going to continue to serve Him to the very best of your ability, whatever that may be. Some are able to do more than others, but it doesn't matter who you are or what you are, you can literally give yourself to the Lord. Give yourself over to His will and not your own. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It's not enough just to call Him Lord. You have to do what He says. And those people Jesus talking to in that context were religious people. They were doing a lot of things they said by the authority of the Lord, casting out devils' name, doing many wonderful works. Jesus said they were workers of iniquity. They were working lawlessness because they were working contrary to His will. And so if my sacrifices are to be well-pleasing to God, they must be in harmony with His will, not man. It's not what I think is pleasing to God, but what God has said that's pleasing to Him. Those are the kind of sacrifices with which God is well pleased. Now, if you're in this audience this afternoon and you realize that you have not given your life totally to Him as a sacrifice, you're not giving your body over as a living sacrifice to Him, giving Him your all, you can make the necessary changes this afternoon to give yourself completely to Him. If you believe Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you're willing to confess that faith in Him, having repented of your sins, then you can be immersed in water for the remission of your sin. The Lord then will add you to His church. If you have done that and you realize that I haven't been sacrificing like I should, I've been living more for self than I have for the Lord, there needs to be some changes made. If that's the case with me, if that's the case with you, there needs to be some changes made. Some determination made that I'm going to give myself to the Lord. Now, obviously, some of our responsibilities that we engage in are involved in our responsibilities to the Lord. Time that we give to our family, to our friends, our neighbors, you know, helping, doing for other people, that's part of our sacrifice to the Lord. That's part of giving ourselves to Him. So we just need to be busy doing what we can in the Lord's service. If you're not doing that, I urge you to think very seriously about the condition of your soul. If there's something in your life that needs to be taken care of, you can do that this evening as we stand and sing together for your encouragement.